This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And this is Pastor H. G. Gale speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us this next hour. I pray that the blessings of our Lord will rest upon us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the hour past, gone now, but the message remains the same. And our dear Heavenly Father, as is heard in the weeks to come, bless it for Your glory. Use it for Thy glory. And we pray Thy blessings upon this broadcast, every listener. Lead us and guide us in this hour. Have mercy upon us, for in our loved ones, our families, You'll bless them. Awaken those that are lost, may come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we pray for the sick again. Remember them in this hour, Thy people especially, Thy body. Our Father, You bless them and lead them. And may they recognize that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Bless the service, every listener here out in Radio Land. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now let's turn to number 409. 409. My faith looks up to Thee. In the last hour about the one faith, one Lord, one faith, and yes, it is the faith of God's elect. Now let's sing another song, 360, number 360, Sweetly Resting. Sing all four verses. Let's stand as we sing. Everybody stand. Be able to stand, come on and stand with us.
Sweetly
couldn't sing a couple of verses of "There is a fountain filled with blood." Y'all can be seated. Thank you. Number 115. I was singing that song almost all the day, yesterday, all the day. There's a fountain filled with blood. Let's sing it. Everybody sing. Praise the Lord for that fountain of blood.
There is a fountain.
That singing, and what a gracious number it is. I want to make this announcement here in regards to the storehouse. Every now and then we make an announcement concerning the need of the storehouse, and perhaps maybe some of you forgot. And I know I was talking to a banker this week, and along the line, he came over one time to visit our storehouse and brought some stuff. He didn't realize we were taking in clothes, too. And so I mentioned to him the other day, I said, now, If you have any clothes in your closets that you want to get rid of, they can be worn by others. I said, we can use all types of clothing in our storehouse. Teenagers, adults. And so I thought about making that announcement this morning. Of course, he did tell me. He said, well, I didn't know you were asking for clothes too. What I'll do, he'll look through his closets. Said he has some clothes there, and he'll pass it on to the neighbors. So I'm asking you here in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, North Radio Land, if you have any clothes you cannot use in your home, in your closets, and I'm sure in time it does accumulate, and probably things you'll never use, and especially you here in our audience here this morning, bring you whatever clothes you cannot use at home, bring it with you tonight or during the week. And perhaps somebody else can use it. I'm sure many can use it. We're running out of clothes in there. And I'm asking you to help us if you can. We have people coming in there every day, many, many families, and we're not able to supply them with clothes. And even food now, with the cost of things going up, is getting mighty hard to buy stuff. So if you want to donate any kind of food, that'll help us, enable us to supply others who need these things. Deeply appreciate it. Or if you have any money, send us a check for the storehouse. We'll buy things for it. But I'm asking everyone who can in this audience here and out in Radio Land, if you have any clothes, anything along that line that you want to donate to the storehouse, we were sure deeply appreciate it. I meant to make that announcement last Sunday. Of course, we weren't on the air last Sunday, but we are this Sunday. I praise the Lord for it. So many called and wondered what happened to the broadcast last Sunday. Well, the station was off the air. They were buying new equipment and all, and I'm glad we're on this Sunday, and I'm certain that you are too. So may the Lord bless us. He has. He's blessing us, and He's blessing you. And if you can share your blessings with someone else, I think it'll give you a double blessing. You'll get a double portion. Now let's get into our message this morning. I want to continue on that subject we had last Sunday about salvation is of the Lord. And I want us to turn it back to Jonah in your book, in your Bible. Turn to Jonah. Jonah, the second chapter. We'll read the second and third chapters this Sunday. They're very short. We read the first chapter, you remember, last Sunday, and the second. But I want to review the second and the third. And if you remember last Sunday in the first chapter, we found Jonah running away from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah to rise and go to Nineveh. And instead of him going to Nineveh, he went the other direction. And so the Lord got a hold of him. He got on the ship and sailed away. And the ship got in a storm. Finally come to the conclusion that it was Jonah's fault. The men cast him overseas into the sea, and God prepared a big fish come along there and swallow Jonah. And Jonah learned a good lesson there, didn't he? It doesn't pay to run from the Lord. It's best to run to Him. Run to Him. It's not best to fight Him. It's best to surrender. It's not good to fight the Lord, to resist His callings and His rebukes, but it is best to yield to them. And so we found in chapter 2 last Sunday about Jonah being vomited up on dry land, but only after he learned that salvation is of the Lord. I wonder how many of us have learned that salvation is of the Lord. Once you learn that, you'll stop. You'll stop running around and looking to the Lord. You'll stop figuring things out and running hither and thither and because the Lord never saves people on the run like that. You have to stop. You've got to stop long enough for him to deal with you. And so when you learn that lesson, that salvation is of the Lord, then that's a great lesson in itself. I think there's a story about one of the divines, old divines, who learned about salvation. He was preaching many a year. But the Lord had to teach him that salvation was of him. In the garden one day, I believe, I forget the exact story, how it goes, but it never got away from it that he learned about salvation is of the Lord. He threw up his hand. And come to find out, the salvation was of the Lord. Now, one of you have. Or have you thought, you think that salvation is by works? Many religious organizations today are banking their hope of heaven on salvation by works. God delivered me out of such a religion. And, two of them. Because you could be a Catholic and you know better off if you're a Baptist, if you're not saved. So the Lord had delivered me out of both. And I forget that I'm even a Baptist today. And people ask me, what are you? I gotta think sometime what I am. And the most I can tell them is, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And then that could be, it doesn't matter whether you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian or whatever you might be. If you're saved, that's all you can tell. You're a sinner saved by grace. You've lost your title, your name, and probably the association will not accept you. They exclude you from them. But that's all I can say this morning. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Are you? Do you know the Lord? Have you ever learned that salvation is of the Lord? Or do you boast the fact that you're a Catholic? Or you boast the fact that you're a Baptist and that's all you got to talk about? How about talking about the Lord? Have you learned Him? You can't talk about Him unless you learn of Him. Now let's look at chapter 2 of Jonah. Again, let's read it through. And may the Holy Spirit bless His word as we read it, huh? Let's read it. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of mine affliction to the Lord. He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. That's true. Many of us didn't hear this message last Sunday because it was not on the radio and we weren't on the air. And some of us are here this morning. But we're continuing our subject we left off with last Sunday. Now in the fifth verse, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. I like that. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Always remembering Him. How often has the saint's soul fainted within him? The most they can do is just remember the Lord. Remember Him. Remember Him as Noah remembered Him. Remember the Lord, and the Lord remembered Noah. My prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, And they vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He learned a good lesson like we all do. Now look at the third chapter. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He said, a great city. It was a great population. No telling how many hundreds of thousands of people that lived in that city. It was a great city. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the only message he had. The only message God gave him. And he preached it. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And shall be overthrown. And what happened then? I wonder what would happen if we went through the city here in New Orleans with God's message. And we have his message today. And we went on every street corner and tell this city, cry out to this city, 3 days, New Orleans shall be destroyed. 3 days, New Orleans shall be destroyed. That's the message God gave to his servant, Jonah. I wonder how many would heed that message. I wonder the last 2 weeks they had all of this carnival, had all of this idolatry going on, masquerading, and drunkenness. If you were to go through the city and say, 3 days, New Orleans shall be destroyed. I wonder how many would have heard that voice. I wonder. I wonder how many hears the voice this morning that one day this world will be destroyed. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Quickly. He should have heard that broadcast this morning, that message on the mark of the beast and how near we are to the coming of judgment upon this world. And we constantly remind you of it. Judgment is coming. That's God's message from his book, from the Bible. It's the word of the Lord. Judgment is coming, my friends. It's coming. Are you under the blood? Are you under the blood? Now that's the message that we have from God's word. And it's just a sure message that God gave to Jonah. In 3 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. And yet he went through that proclaiming it. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Listen to this. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They didn't think too much about Jonah. They forgot about Jonah. They believed God. They believed God. I wonder how many of you are out there in radio land listening to us and here this morning, and you're just listening to me and you're not listening to the word of God. You're not listening to the word of God. The people believed God. Remember that. They didn't believe Jonah primarily. They believed God. Jonah was only the instrument that God used. And then I'm only the instrument here that God is using to get his message out. To proclaim to you that judgment is coming. Because the word of God, the word of the Lord declares it. Now listen. So, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. And put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. I wonder how many of us this morning will go home. You don't know Christ. You said God awakened you. But you go back to your regular duties and and do the regular things you've always done instead of thinking upon what you heard here this morning on the word of the Lord, that I need to be under the blood. I must be under the blood. The sin avenger is after me. Judgment is coming. And the sword seemingly is already sheathed and ready to strike its victim. And yet, I'm not under the blood. My dear friends, I'm not only up here just telling you something just to be talking here, but I am proclaiming the word of God to you. And Jonah went through that city, and he said, 3 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed, shall be overthrown. And I'm telling you, unless you're under the blood, you will face the awful judgment of God. Because it's coming. It's coming quickly, rapidly, for many of us, for many of you who are not in Christ. Oh, may the Holy Spirit give you grace to think. And as you go out of this building this morning, you make your way to your home, you think about some of the things that God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to your heart about. You think about them. You out in radio land, you think of what the Holy Spirit is telling you right now. If you're not under the blood, that's an awful place to be outside of Christ, outside of the sheltering blood. So the word's coming to you, to your heart this morning, by the Spirit of the living God. I'm just the instrument. That's all I am. Nothing I am. Nothing at all in myself. But just God's servant proclaiming his message. Just the instrument. And so it tells us that he proclaimed the, they believed God, and they proclaimed, they fast, they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. I don't even believe anyone ate that day. I don't believe anybody ate that day. Because they said they proclaimed the fast. And I believe they forgot all about eating. It took their appetites away. It certainly did. They consider the important thing first. Judgment was coming. And it was a city similar to that of New Orleans here, rocking to and fro with sin, lust, frivolity, revelry, pleasures, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so Jonah had one message. He delivered that message. That's the reason why, I mean, he ran away. He didn't want to deliver it. But God made him willing to deliver it. And there is a message that God gives every one of his servants, and we must deliver it. We must deliver it. Whether we like it or not, regardless who is in the audience or out there and listening, we've got to deliver God's message. And God's servants will deliver his message. God called them to do it. You know, there's one thing about when God calls, gets ready to call an individual to proclaim his message, to preach his word, he never calls an individual to dishonor his word or to compromise his word, to compromise with the people, the hearts of people. And I tell you, you forget about everybody and everything, and you just bring God's message. I came up here this morning just to bring God's message. No matter who's listening, who's within earshot of this message in the audience, whether it's friends, loved ones, a friend or foe, it doesn't matter. And when I get through with it, then I did what God wanted me to do. And so, I imagine old Jonah went up and down the land there. 3 days. And Nineveh will be overthrown. 3 days. And Nineveh will be overthrown. Up and down the streets. Going around. 3 days. And Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, why aren't you in Christ? Why don't you know the Lord? Haven't you fought him long enough? Haven't you rebelled against him long enough? Haven't you disputed his word long enough, my friend? Haven't you questioned his word long enough? Haven't you questioned his authority long enough? His lordship? Haven't you? Continue to do so, you'll never get saved. Never will. Question the word of God. They said they all got down. They all came down. They clothed themselves in sackcloth and ashes. They proclaimed a fast. Let's go on. Let's look at that sixth verse. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Thinking about this carnival season here, how this city rocked, and how they even came out with these little doubloons and everything. They're putting out doubloons with inscriptions of the scriptures and everything on them. Telling men about the Lord, about Christ. Joining him with harlots, with idolatry. That's an abomination in the sight of God. And then after the day is over with, they all seemingly undress and they take off that frivolity and they go to church and they think that the Lord forgot about all their deeds and everything that they did during the carnival season. All of their lusts and all of their drinking. They think that Christianity is something that you could take off and put on. But brother, once the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your heart and the Holy Spirit puts Christianity upon you and puts on that robe of righteousness, it's there to stay, my friends. And it's there to change your life and your whole way of living. And it'll remain that way. It's not something that you could put on today and take off tomorrow, or put on today and come to church and then go home and you take it off and you go right back. No, siree. Christianity is not like that. Not true Christianity. So the word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. That's the humble place. That's the place of humility. Right there. He humbled himself. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. That's how serious the situation was. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. And that word mightily is desperately. Cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Who can tell? Who can tell? God saw the works that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said, that he would do unto them, and he did it not. That was mercy. That was mercy. That was a people that heard the word of the Lord, and immediately they took steps that his anger will be stayed against them. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. And if he will not turn, he will whet his sword. And that word, whet there, it means that he's going to sheathe his sword and he's going to destroy. Whet his sword. Whet his sword. That's an awful thing, isn't it? Now, we left off last Sunday talking about salvation is of the Lord. My friends, salvation is of the Lord. Now, I just wonder about this city Nineveh. Now, it didn't say that everyone was saved in that city. It tells us the story how they heard the warnings of judgment, and they went and made preparations that God would stay his judgment upon that city. But I just wonder how many after that message forgot it and went back into their sins. Now I wonder how many are fearful of the judgment to come. You're fearful of it. You know it's coming. You know you're not saved. And you're in a state of fear. And I can just preach judgment to you. And then you'll go home and do all manners of things. You'll not do this, you'll not do that, you'll quit this, you'll quit that. But unless you truly repent that those fears will wear off for you, and you'll be able to begin to draw back the things, and you'll forget the message that God delivered to you and gave you, and you'll go back to your old habits and your old life and everything else. Let me tell you something. Salvation is of the Lord. Now those who draw back into perdition, which means that God has taken his hands off of them, and they're gone. They're gone back. And then others will hear the message, and it'll come to them as the scripture speaks, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And that's right. You are fearful. And you do fear the threatenings of God. You fear the threatenings of judgment, of hell. And those things don't wear off so easily. But just knowing those things does not save you. It's when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with your heart in grace. You know that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace my fears relieved. That's the only thing that relieves your fears, is the grace of God. Now let me continue where I left off last week. Now, let me repeat this here. Man may fight God. Man may rebel against him. And nevertheless, man is nothing more than clay in his hands. Man is clay in the hands of the potter. He shapes his vessels for his own purposes and according to his own good pleasure. Well, you may ask the question, who are they that believe and are saved? I would ask you that question. What would be your answer? Would you easily, I don't know if you would tell me, but the average church member say, well, those who joins the church, are those who are baptized, are those who make a decision for Christ, they are saved. Or those who live a good life, or doesn't harm anyone, they do not harm anybody. Well, no. Or they read their Bibles every night, say their prayers before they go to bed every night. Now, who are they that believe and are saved? You'll find that answer in Acts, the 13th chapter, the 48th verse. If you want to turn there, you want to jot it down. Look what it is. Look at it. I'll read it to you from my notes here. Who are they that believe and are saved? Acts 13:48 tells us, as many as were ordained to eternal life, believe. In other words, it's not when you and I believe, though in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were saved. That's not the reason for our salvation. Our salvation goes back before the world, before the creation of this world. As many as were ordained to eternal life, believe. Now, I could never believe unless the Lord ordained me to eternal life. Now, as many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. And as many speaks of a limited number, not everyone. Now, everyone will not be saved. Only they who are ordained to eternal life. Now, you think seriously with me this morning, every one of you. I'm reading from God's Word. I've got His message. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Person might say, well, I believe when I felt like believing. No, well, that individual wasn't ordained to eternal life. Now, the Romans 11:1, let's turn to Romans. Turn it over to Romans 11th chapter. I'm taking my time, a little slow, a little tired, but I hope that we're getting something over to you here. The 11th chapter of Romans, I wanted to begin reading with the first verse. I say then, had God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people which he foreknew. What you not what the scripture said of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars. And I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Salvation is wholly of grace and not of works. Just as there was a remnant in Elijah's days, reserved by God, even so there is at this present time a remnant according to the election of grace. That's a gracious word, election. I wonder if you've learned that word, election. I wonder if you can say this morning, I was elected back in the eternity, way in the before the foundation of this world. God elected me to salvation in Christ. And yet there is still a remnant according to election. There is at this present time And Romans 11:6 tells us works is excluded. Salvation is by grace. And grace and works are opposite. Just opposite poles. Poles apart. A remnant according to the election of grace signifies an unconditional choice. The sinner cannot produce one merit. There's a little song going around, and every time I hear it, I abhor it. It's this one about, you hear it played every day. Now, it's a popular song. I can understand why it's popular. Why me, Lord? Have you heard that? Why me, Lord? Gives all the glory to man. What have you seen in me that would cause you to love me? You know, there's nothing in man that causes God to love him. Do you know that? You ever stop to think about that? God doesn't save you because of who you are, what you are, or what you did. And I heard that thing again last night. It makes me sick. But it's a popular song. That's what the religious world wants. That's what the world wants. It doesn't offend. It gives glory and honor to man. It deifies man and puts our blessed Lord just somewhere in the corner, somewhere shut up. And that man is totally unable to save himself, give himself honor and glory. I don't like it. Now, if you read Ephesians 1 through 5, you'll find that man is totally incapable of producing any good thing about him. He's lost, world without end. Now, you'll ask this morning, when did this salvation take place? When did God ordain us to eternal life in Christ? The answer is before the foundation of the world. God chose us in Christ. In Christ. Before the foundation of the Word. And it was in love. Predestinated according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, that's the only purpose that God saves us. According to His own will. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we see that God's elect were chosen to salvation in Christ. Chosen. By what means did God choose us to salvation? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Some questions here are just arising out of this study here. Someone may say, well, it doesn't matter whether an individual believes or not. If he is one of God's elect, then he'll be saved by and by. Now, let us not forget the means that God had appointed. Now, how did God awaken you? The preaching of the gospel, didn't he? The preaching of the truth. That's the means he used. How did God awaken me back in 1952? Through the preaching of the word. Now, there's no such thing as if you're elected, well, God will get you somewhere and you'll be saved by and by. And so just don't worry. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to hear the message. God will save you. Now, that's erroneous teaching, isn't it? Now, God uses means, and He appointed means. That realization is brought about by the work of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. The doctrine of predestination should rejoice the heart of every born-again believer and give us grounds for rejoicing and thanksgiving. Think that God chose me back before the foundation of the world. Think that He saved me back yonder. He didn't save me because I believe. He saved me because He already predestined me predestinated me unto salvation. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us who had saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I tell you, that awakening, that's one of the greatest things that can happen to a sinner. Now, outside of salvation in Christ, it's God awakening you and dealing with your heart for salvation. And we do have some awakened sinners here this morning and out in radio land. And to know that God awakened you, my friend, and separating you to save you, sanctifying you, set you apart, put you under the blood, give you a new heart, a new nature, the desires after His salvation. That's the greatest thing in this world, outside of being saved. I know to me it was. I guess I was praising the Lord for awakening me when He awakened me. How He was dealing definitely with my heart. Now, we're going to have to leave you in Radio Land. Our time has come to a close. Glad to be with you this morning. Glad that we're able to get to you by radio. And you pray for us. Pray for this station, the management. And you pray for this work, that it will continue to go out in power and with much assurance, preaching the Word of God as it is to men as they are. And here is next Sunday morning the Voice of Truth broadcast from 7 till 8. The 10 to 11 Bible School of the Air and the 11 o'clock worship hour. And may God's richest blessings rest upon you. Goodbye. God bless you. I just want to finish this thought before we close out. Our salvation is not according to our works. It is not due. Now, you listen carefully, will you, awakened sinner? Will you listen carefully to what I have to say here? It is not due to anything in us. Now, you remember that. It is not due to anything in us, nor the rewarding of anything from us. I know in that song I just described a little while ago, there's a portion there that says, "What can I do to repay you for what you've done for me?" There's nothing the world you can do to repay for your salvation. You can't pay for your salvation. You can't buy it. There's nothing in the world that you can do for it, to get it. Salvation is of the Lord. Now let's hold that. Let's keep that. And so many people get busy in trying to think of what they can do to get saved. Can I pray a little bit longer? Or read my Bible just a little bit more? Now, there's nothing reading in that, if you read it with the right intent, the purpose. Or maybe I'll give a little bit more. Well, that's all right, too, if you want to give a little bit more. But with the right purpose in mind. Recognize your utter helplessness, your utter inability to produce one work that'll save you. One merit that will save you. I hope I'm making that clear. Am I? If you go away out of here this morning and thinking salvation is of the Lord, I'll learn that one story, that one truth this morning, that I cannot save myself, and I have to wholly and completely trust Him. And brother, that's where trusting begins. Is when you see your utter helplessness and hopelessness to save yourself, then you'll start trusting the Lord. Now, I'm just getting started preaching here. I was just more or less using words, but I'm starting to preach now. Because I'm zealous for you. And don't think that I'm not. I have a zeal. God's given me to see you saved. Now listen to me. This going on tape? I hope it is. All right. It is only the result of God's own purpose and grace Now, this was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Nothing can survive to eternity but what came from eternity, and what has to come will come. You can bless the Lord because of that. It's going to come. Look at 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now this is based upon His own decrees, and you can't change it. There are those who pervert this truth. They are constantly trying to find some cause outside of God's own will which moves Him to bestow salvation on sinners. All right, in the light of the following scriptures, all human merits are done away with. Matthew 19:17 tells us, there is none good but one, and that is God. Romans 3:12, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3:11, there is none that seeketh after God. I can go into that, but I won't at this time. And Ephesians 2:1 tells us, and you hath he quickened, are made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now in closing, let me once again emphasize that salvation is by grace. Salvation is wholly of the Lord. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. In John 5:27, we are reminded that it was God's will that ordained salvation by faith. Salvation through an atoning sacrifice. Salvation by the way of the new birth. According to His own will begat He us, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now this last thought, listen. We are saved because of the will of God. Because of His will, His choice. It is His will that brought us to the knowledge of the truth, by which also we will also, by which will we also, we are sanctified. And it is a fixed will. No one can change it. It cannot be changed. I am God, said He, and I change not. He changeth not. He is the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. And I praise the Lord, that's the way. Therefore, our salvation is eternal. His decrees are eternal. And praise God, we can never lose what we have because it's fixed in Christ Jesus our Lord. All that has been purposed and planned, that was purposed and planned back in eternity, will be fulfilled in every jot and tittle by God Himself. I'm glad you came this morning. I didn't want to hold you just 5 minutes longer, 5 or 6 minutes longer. But I just wanted to close with those thoughts. And you come back and be with us tonight in the study of God's Word. Come prayer service, and let's have a gracious time in the Lord. Let's stand now, and we'll be dismissed. Our Father, this morning, dismiss us with Thy benediction. May Thy great grace rest upon each and every one of us. May the words spoken this morning will sink down deep into our hearts, and they'll be there and never to be removed by Thy Spirit of grace and supplication. Our Father, may Thy blessings rest upon us throughout this day. Save our loved ones. Save our friends. Our Lord, give Thee all the honor and glory for we ask it in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Goodbye. God bless you.